say hello to our friend Nick. Nick Moderf, and you are with the Osceola Train Company, or what is your official name? Osceola and St. Croix Valley Railway?
That is correct.
And the Minnesota Transportation Museum. Can I tell you, this place has a wonderful place in our hearts. I enjoyed the Jackson Street Roundhouse for probably 5 straight years when our little guy was celebrating birthdays. That was his place to go. And my friend Dan here, he said how much he enjoys your wonderful Osceola train ride. So what's going on, Nick? Tell us a little bit about your company for people that maybe don't know about it.
Well, everything is going on with the Minnesota Transportation Museum and the Osceola and St. Croix Valley Railway. The Jackson Street Roundhouse is busy with special events coming up on Saturday. Let's see, back up on the week. Wednesday will open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday also 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Osceola and St. Croix Valley Railway has several weekends to go. Our last operating day is going to be the 24th of October.
Well, tell us a little bit about the company. I know you have a rich history, and like I said, I've been to both of your facilities, and you really do have so much to offer. Let's start first with the Jackson Street Roundhouse. That's right in St. Paul.
It is, 193 Pennsylvania Avenue in St. Paul. It is one of the few operating railroad roundhouses left literally in the United States.
And what is a roundhouse, please?
Well, a roundhouse is built around a turntable, which when the steam locomotives came in for service, they would come onto the turntable and then be rotated to go into the building, which, since the turntable is round, the building ended up being round.
Oh.
And kind of like spokes on a bicycle wheel, locomotives were lined up with the appropriate track, and then they were moved into the building.
So at that facility, it's also a museum, and
Yes. It
talks about the longstanding history of the train industry and how important that was to St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Well, when it comes to history in the Jackson Street Roundhouse, the place is rich with it. It is right alongside the first railroad grade built in the state of Minnesota.
Didn't know that.
Yes. The Great Northern Railway had a facility there from the very beginning, and it continually expanded. The last big expansion, and the date that we say that building is from, is 1916.
Oh, wow.
James J. Hill, the Empire builder who put together the Great Northern Railway, Northern Pacific, would have walked in that building because it was constructed before he passed away. The facilities have been continually improved. In the turntable, we have lines painted showing the various lengths of the turntable. As the locomotives kept getting bigger and bigger, they had to dig out the turntable and put in a larger one. And so we show the lines at what it was like literally back in the 1870s to 1900s, then 1916, and it was expanded beyond that. We show all those lines on the base of the turntable so you can see how things have grown in transportation over the years.
And that facility, I know, is you have the ability to rent it out, and then you also can take a short little train ride still, right?
You can do all of those things.
Well, tell us about that, please. It's just such a great place to have a birthday party. And like I said, our son, that's where he chose to go for his birthday, probably for 4 or 5 years in a row. And it's so slick. You take care of decorating it, and we just come in and you can have a party in one of your train cars.
We have a special party car. Well, your son chose well, and we have quite a number of people celebrating various parties in the Twin Cities. We've done weddings. The place is multifunctional and can be practically anything a person wants if they want to rent a unique space for an event.
Absolutely. And so to do that, how would people go about contacting you?
The best way would be to call the office at 651-228-0263. Let me play that number again for those that are scrambling for their pencils. The Minnesota Transportation Museum office is at 651-228-0263.
Nick, are you open year-round at the museum?
Yes.
So if somebody in the middle of winter would like to have a fun outing, that would be okay on a Wednesday or a Saturday?
Any other day of the week, we can be open, or we are open or available 7 days a week for the right party situation.
Oh, that's really nice to know. Thank you. And then I know one of the highlights was after we had our party, we actually got to get on a train, and I don't think we went too far, but boy, the experience was great. Tell us about that.
Well, we do offer a caboose ride. Cabooses are those features that were on the end of a freight train starting from the beginning of time until about the 1980s. And they housed the rear brakeman and the conductor. It was the conductor's office. It was the crew's home away from home. Picture many of the branch lines in the Dakotas and northern Minnesota, where the train would leave the terminal, take empty cars out to the grain elevators, and then the crew would spend the night in the caboose.
Oh.
The caboose had a very adequate stove, and there was adequate sleeping surfaces in the caboose. And so with the stove going in the morning, the eggs were done and got the engine ready to go and head back picking up loaded cars along the way.
So they don't have cabooses anymore?
No. Cabooses have been...
What?
The $80,000 caboose has been replaced by a $4,000 radio.
What are you talking about? Where do people sleep?
Well, guess what?
What?
All those expensive people that used to ride in the back of that train in the caboose are no longer employed. Trains are now run with two people, and there's a move underfoot to cut that down to one person, and the technology is available. You could have an automated train without a human operator on board.
Really?
In the 1980s, when technology, radio communication capabilities were such that now, rather than having somebody manned on the back of the train to keep watch and make sure it's still on the track, you'll see on the last car of a freight train a flashing red light. That's called Freddy, flashing rear-end device.
Come on.
Honest. Anyway, the flashing rear-end device is hooked up to the air system, so the engineer can tell the status of his brake system. It will also tell the engineer when the train is moving. There's mercury switch back there. When it gets jiggled, it causes a radio signal to be sent to let them know that the entire train is together and moving. You can also, in an emergency from the engineer's control position in the cab, apply the brakes from the rear. Electrons are wonderful things nowadays.
I guess. So a lot of the trains that we see, because of course in Hastings where you're calling into, there's a train station here that trains go through. And so you're saying every train we see, typically there's just two, are they both conductors or two people?
No, you've got an engineer
who's
operating the machinery, and a conductor who is telling the engineer where to go and supervises the train, makes sure that all the cars that are supposed to be on it and are on the manifest. If there's any hazardous material, he will know about that. Basically, you've got a two-man crew. Used to be that in that station at Hastings and everywhere else in the world, there would be a station agent and a telegrapher. Those are all now, those functions are handled by radio. There's a radio transmitter at the Hastings Depot and about every 20 miles along the road. So when the dispatcher wants to talk to a train or the train wants to talk to the dispatcher or literally anybody else in the company, they can just pick up the radio microphone and touch tone who they want to talk to. And it's almost like a cell phone. And if the radio system doesn't do everything they want, they'll pull out their cell phones and dial direct.
Nick, how did you get so interested in the Transportation Museum?
Well, I had a long, lifelong interest in railroad things. I don't know that I could, some might claim that I'm distractible, but in kindergarten in 1945, next to an iron mine in Upper Michigan where trains were going by hustling ore to being processed for World War II, with a train going by every 20 minutes, my head was always out the window watching that steam locomotive go by. And it's something that's stayed with me forever.
So you would have had your birthday parties probably at the Jackson Street Roundhouse if it were around.
Yeah. Jackson Street Roundhouse during that time would have been very, very busy with a lot of steam locomotives hauling things to and through the Twin Cities.
Well, I must say, every time I've been to any of your facilities, the people that work there are not only knowledgeable about their jobs, but also about the railroad industry. And I think that they're very passionate about the history. And that's what makes this experience of going to any of your facilities really fun and extra special for your guests.
Well, we hope so. We're all volunteers. We're all there because we want to be. We now have a few people that made railroading a profession, but 99 and 44 100% of our volunteers had other careers, and I guess we were just frustrated that we didn't get a railroad job. So now's our chance.
Absolutely. So that's what we can do at the downtown space in St. Paul. But tell me more about Osceola, because I know that that's what you want to focus on today and some of these great opportunities we have to not only see the beautiful foliage, to experience a train ride, but you have lots of things coming up, I know. Tell us.
Well, Osceola is certainly the crown jewel of tourist railroads in the upper Midwest. Our scenery exceeds just about everybody else's. The ride down into the St. Croix River Valley and then up on the other side, as we call Minnesota, is pretty spectacular. And it's not just the fall foliage. We've been running color specials for the last three weekends, but the colors will continue, but as this is the season for the leaves to fall, and they are, it reveals a whole new vista available for viewing. Normally the leaves kind of limit the good view of the river to about a half a mile each side of the bridge. With the leaves gone, you can see everything for a great distance, and so it's really spectacular. Every season, or every month, every week, is a good time to take a train ride at Osceola, and if people think they're going to miss the color or they've missed the color, we've got other visual opportunities to attract your attention.
You know, you do bring up a good point. You could probably see wildlife. You could see some nests in trees now that the leaves are starting to come down. So you're right. Any time is a great time. I know that you're going to also have an opportunity. We can meet Santa, or at least we have in the past. Is that going to happen again this year?
Oh, yeah. Santa comes every year. At the Jackson Street Roundhouse, the Santa's Train Shop will be the first three weekends in December. And Santa Claus will be there. We're also going to have music and all the regular Christmas treats. Jackson Street Roundhouse, Saturdays and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
That's pretty special, and it's really nice that he comes during the time period so close to Christmas. But that's fabulous. And then I know at Osceola you also do different pizza trains. Is that ongoing as well?
The pizza train season, the pizza season is over.
Oh, I didn't know. Sorry.
And that's okay. It'll be back next year. And we enjoy feeding people, and they enjoy eating on the roll, and that's been a very successful program. Now, coming up on October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th is the Pumpkin Express.
Fun.
Yes. Literally five trains a day from Osceola to the... shall we say, the Haunted Depot, which is located in Dresser. Children 5 to 15 get to pick out a pumpkin out of the pumpkin patch and take that home with them. Music there, bouncy castles, food. It's going to be an excellent event and a tour through the haunted area, tractor rides, a whole bunch of activities to keep you busy through the day. First train departs at 9 a.m., and I'll be the engineer on that first one on Friday, the October 22nd. And so we got five trains to take you up to Dresser. Last one leaves at 3 o'clock. Return trains will be, when people want to go back, we'll take them back.
So the trains don't necessarily run on time.
I hate to hear you say that, but...
but it sounds like it might be true on the return trip. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, I guess you can say that. I hate to admit it. We try not to be like Amtrak, but
Nick, have you been on an Amtrak, and could you give them some pointers?
Yes, I've been on Amtrak. It's too bad my wife has left. She could tell you about Amtrak. She's the poor wife that married this railroad crazy. She thought she was marrying an airline pilot, but ends up a guy that really is in love with trains, and her, too. We've ridden all of the transcontinental routes on Amtrak, and if you're looking for good scenery for an extended period of time, Amtrak is the way to go. And it takes you places that you don't normally get to by car, and feeds you en route, and just generally shows you a good time and a wonderful way to get around.
Absolutely. Well, the trains are, if you don't have that much time, the trains with the Minnesota Transportation Museum Organization are really a wonderful way for us to experience history and for us to really just do something different. And I love this pumpkin thing coming up. That sounds really, really fun. So again, would you be so kind, Nick, as to tell people how they can get tickets and information?
I will. Our website is trainride.org. Once again, just like it sounds, trainride.org. And it'll guide you through all of the events that are available and lead you to ticketing without any human intervention. You just punch the buttons, have your credit card handy, and everything is going to work out fine. All of our Osceola and St. Croix Valley Railway trains leave from the Osceola Depot in beautiful downtown Osceola. The address, if you want to punch it into your navigation system, is 114 Depot Road. That's 114 Depot Road in Osceola. And if you've got the really sophisticated navigation equipment, the zip code is 54020, and it'll take you right there.
Well, Nick, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you, and thank you for all you do.
Hope we'll have a chance to see you on the Pumpkin Express.
Absolutely. Nick, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. And again, this is just such a great organization, and we thank you for keeping history alive. Nick Moderf, and he is with the Transportation Museum of Minnesota, which is a wonderful organization, and do take them up on some of these wonderful rides. Thanks for talking to us today, Nick. We hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm